coming up on this episode of the MD and Chef Team Show.
Subtract 7 from 100 until you get to the end, or one day subtract 9 from 100, or you know, just do your math in your brain and see how you go.
That's cool.
Do you think I like doing that? I'm like, oh, I should try doing it. But
yeah,
I do try and do it. That's why when you and I are walking and I'm not talking, I'm counting on my fingers. That's what I'm doing.
Welcome to the show from the MD and Chef Team. I'm Dr. Isabel, medical doctor here at the MD and Chef Team. And who are you?
And I'm Chef Michael, culinary nutrition expert. I'm the chef part of the team.
And what are we going to talk about, babe? Now, I can say that because he's my husband.
Yes. Well, then we'll be talking about marriage, relationships, parenting, intimacy.
Ooh.
We'll talk about mindsets of success, overcoming depression, anxiety. I'll be getting into functional nutrition, recipes and tips from the kitchen. And we're going to both get into how to live a long, healthy, vibrant life.
Yes, I love it. Our mission is to help you prevent and reverse disease and give you hope in the process. Oh, yeah.
We like to have fun, too.
So let's get on with the show.
Hello and welcome to the MD and Chef Team Show. It's Chef Michael here. And today I'm joined, as usually, always, by my beautiful wife and your doctor on a mission, Isabel.
Hi, everyone.
Great to see you, hon.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
Awesome. Well, today, okay, here we go. We're going to talk about how exercise, yes, exercise, can bring us great brain health and mental health.
Even if you don't like to exercise.
Yeah, which we don't.
The other day, our coach asked us, so did you enjoy that workout? And I was like, no, I never enjoy the workout. I just like the results. So, hey, I'm right there. We're right there with you, right, babe?
Yeah. So before you turn off and like, oh, no, I don't want to hear about this exercise. No. Just give us another 5 minutes because we want to help you understand why exercise and the different forms of exercise is so important for good brain health. Now, one thing before we get started is, I think we've already touched on this, but this isn't about whether we actually want to exercise. Yes, walking, Isabel and I love going out for a walk. And when we do that, we're like, yeah, that was great going out for a walk and enjoying that.
It was easy.
Yeah. But when we actually maybe walking on purpose or a set type of walks or movements or climbing, or we're doing resistance or strength training, as you may call it, I don't think we've ever said, yay, this is exciting. Can't wait to get into it.
But at the end, we do.
Yeah, at the end, because we know the results have come and we know the great results and the great results for our brain health, leading to great mental health that this will bring, right?
Perfect.
Beautiful. And understanding also that normally we think about exercise as something that's good for our physical health. What we want to help you today to understand is it is so, so very important for our brain health. Now, what's interesting is of all the different lifestyle choices that we can make, that the most scientific research has been done about exercise, and showing that exercise has value, has goodness for our brain health. There's so much research out there about it. And it's amazing what exercise can do. So let's talk about how exercise supports our brain health and our overall health. Well, one thing, it can help us maintain a healthy BMI, healthy body fat, which is great for our whole body, not just the brain health, but also our physical health, our organs of our body. It also promotes insulin sensitivity. Very, very important for our brain health to have that insulin sensitivity. Also reduces inflammation everywhere in the body. Remember, when we talk about inflammation, we're just thinking about fire. Think of the word fire when we say inflammation. We want to reduce inflammation throughout the body and in the brain. So it helps to do that. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I always know that when I have a lot of stress, anxiety, that I'm just kind of feeling a little tight and I'm just going, because there's so much going on that when I work out, go for a walk, I feel so much better after that. How about you, my dear?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Really helps.
It's
really.
Just getting there, you know, it's just going, okay, I've got to exercise. I got to do something.
I got to get moving. Yeah.
Because it's not my priority. My priority is go eat. Usually a carbohydrate, but I have to go, no, that's not what you do, Dr. Isabel.
And you brought up a great point there. It wasn't something that I was thinking of, but I did now that you said there's a word you said there that is so important.
Which was?
Priority.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I don't prioritize it. I just don't. Yeah. I'm just like, this is what I want.
I know, but we do.
Yeah.
Because we build it into our schedule. And that's the important thing with exercise is we don't really want to do it, but to make it a priority, to build it into your schedule. So a habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of times we say, I don't have time. Oh, there's no time. Well, it's actually not a time problem. It's a priority problem.
Exactly.
Because we all got the same. And I'm sure we've all heard it. We got 24 hours in a day. But it's so it's not a time problem. It's a priority problem. Is it a priority? So exercise, it also improves blood pressure. You, my dear, as a medical doctor, would understand how important that is to have good blood pressure in the body and not have it all over the show.
I've had so many patients that were so sweet and really started a good exercise program and they lost weight and they came off their blood pressure medications.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a great
possible,
thing.
It's possible, but they had to do the work.
Yeah, it's a great thing for people to be able to come off those medications.
Yeah, because there's side effects too.
Yeah. It also can reduce the risk of heart disease and stroke and all those types of chronic diseases, which, of course, we want to stay away from.
Yeah, like who wants a heart attack or a stroke?
Exactly.
You know? But people have to kind of wake up like, this is what I'm doing if I don't do this.
Yeah. And now I do want to interject here. That brings up a great point is, just because we're exercising, because yes, we're talking about how important it is, that doesn't mean that, I'm really exercising. I've got a great regime of all the things I'm doing every day. Yep, I'm doing it all. But I'm having hamburgers and fries and fish and chips and McDonald's and beers all week long. Well, that's still not going to work because you actually can't out-train that bad diet. That's going to catch up to you anyway.
People think they can.
You can't actually
out-train a bad diet.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes.
What does that mean? That means you can't exercise and still be eating crap. That's the bottom line. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way. However, this is so important as far as a healthy lifestyle choice for your brain health and mental health and physical health. But just a quick disclaimer, doesn't mean your nutrition, you don't have to pay any attention.
Can go down the drain, yeah.
No, and health or exercise can improve our mood, our sleep, and all the emotional things going on in our life. It's just amazing how much that can help us to improve in those areas.
Absolutely.
Do you find that it helps you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just one key point about exercise, don't do it 3 hours before sleep because it can really rev you up and then you have problems. Fall asleep.
Yeah. 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 You don't want to, as you said, get too jacked up at the end of the day.
Yeah. Because you do feel very invigorated after exercise.
Yeah.
Because, you got blood flowing, you've been breathing really well, you've been drinking water, you're cleaning out, you're sweating out, you're detoxified and are ready to rock and roll. But really, it's time to go into bed, not rock and roll time.
And I understand with schedules, I mean, if you're working, let's say a 9-to-5 or whatever type job, career, position, business, that you can't get to the wherever your workout or doing your workouts at 7 o'clock at night or something. What we're saying is don't turn around, come home, eat, and go right to bed. Give yourself some time to wind down after that workout. That would be the best way to do it.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about two types of styles of working out. We've got cardio or aerobic. You can call it either one, cardio or aerobic. I'll just stick with cardio. And then we've got strength and resistance. So we'll just, for one, we'll say the word cardio just to keep it simple. And for the other, we'll say the word strength. training.
Not to complicate things.
Not to complicate
things. But to complicate the things. Can I ask you a question,
yeah.
Chef?
Yeah.
Is high intensity interval also the same as cardio and is also the same as aerobic? Is that what we're hearing out there?
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of
the old HIIT, which is high intensity interval training, is the cardio part. However, again, now here we were trying to keep it simple.
And we are.
But you can do HIIT training where it's cardio, but yet you're using weights.
Yeah.
So you're incorporating resistance into the HIIT training. So it could be a crossover.
Right.
You know, we've heard of CrossFit and all these types of things where they're a crossover of the cardio and the strength at the same time. So right. You can do something where you're doing them both.
Right.
But we're going to just talk about each one individually
right. So
we can understand some specifics on it. So let's talk about the benefits of cardio exercise for the brain. One of the best things it improves blood flow. I mean, we want good blood flow to the brain.
That's why exercise is so good for your brain, huh?
Yeah. And do you want to touch on this one, my dear?
Okay.
BDNF.
So you've heard me on my walking on story on Instagram and Facebook talking about, hey, let's get walking. So we increase our BDNF. Well, BDNF is a wonderful product that your body makes. Consider it like fertilizer in your brain so that the nerves can connect and talk to each other and you can increase your memory. Well, that fertilizer is BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And guess how you increase BDNF? By walking.
Doing that aerobic, at which we'll talk about walking in a moment. Just all part of it.
So it's very good stuff.
Some other benefits. It preserves your brain volume and cortical thickness. Well, just understand it's going to preserve your brain volume because our brain is elastic. It can shrink. It can grow larger. We want to keep the brain volume strong. We want to keep it thick. And so we don't want it shrinking. So this is a good way to preserve your brain volume. Another one is it activates the glymphatic system where the beta amyloid and other toxins are cleared. Just understand that aerobic and or cardio exercise, we're clearing toxins, not just out of the body, but also out of the brain. And that is a good thing. We want to be doing that because we've all got some level of toxicity in our brain.
We all do.
100% of us do.
Newborn babies.
Yeah, because they take on some from mom.
A lot from mom, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way it works. So being able to clear toxins from the brain, this is part of it, by activating the glymphatic system.
And just to simplify also the glymphatic, there's the lymphatic system, which is from your neck down, and that's just, it just removes toxins from your neck down. And your brain has its own lymphatic system, and it's called glymphatic.
Excellent.
Getting a little medical education here. Hey, everybody should be medical educated.
Yeah. Now.
Instead of being dumbed down.
We don't want to be dumbed
down. No dumbing down on our
show. We do our best to try to keep it simple here, but sometimes you get into it a little bit just because.
Me?
No, not you. Both of us do. Just because that's everything seems to end up being medical terms, so we want to try and keep it simple as we can. So, because I know I want to be able to understand it. I know you want to be able to understand it.
Personally, I am a simple-minded person. I do not know how I made it through medical school. The only thing I did was to make that complicated stuff and just write it out in like a couple of words because I'm simple. I remember simple things.
Me too.
Yeah. I think we all do.
I think all of us like it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you gone to a professional and just totally confused? They've talked away, and then you come out going,
"So
I have no idea what they said."
That's so irritating.
I know.
That's so irritating.
Yeah. Okay. Back to our subject of exercise and brain health. And here, away we go.
Oh, so, were we going? Were we pinging?
No, we were just, hey, things come up as we do. So taking a walk. Okay. Keeping it simple. Taking a walk is so simple because that's the one thing we can do. That's one of the best forms of exercise because it actually is a crossover, because understanding as we walk, we're getting body weight. We're getting weight on our legs. We're getting weight on our body. So we're actually getting some resistance as we're walking. And we're getting the cardio and the resistance. Now, if you're interested in preventing cognitive decline and having that brain get all foggy and your memory starting to dissipate and you know, going down that track, what you want to be looking at is making sure that you're getting, and this is what the research shows, we need to have a minimum of 8,900 steps a day, or that's about 5.6 kilometers a day. Miles, well, I think that's like 3 miles if you want to check it out.
So not 10,000 steps anymore.
Well, yeah, it'd be great to do that. But the research shows a minimum we need is 8,900 steps a day or 5.6 kilometers for prevention of cognitive decline by walking. Because if we're saying, I don't want to get into a lot more or I just don't have the time, well, build in the time to get yourself those steps in a day. And you don't have to buy a fancy watch band or type thing. There's free apps that you can have on your phone. I think just about everybody in the world's got a cell phone. Well, not everybody in the world. That's an exaggeration. But I think most people have a cell phone. And there's free apps on there that'll give you your walking steps per day. So that's what you want to at least get going. And of course, do more if you can.
Are you afraid of having Alzheimer's? Well, you don't have to anymore. You see, the most up-to-date medical research now shows us having Alzheimer's is an option. Yes, you heard me right. Having Alzheimer's is an option. You can learn how by having your very own personalized pre-code report. Now, you're probably asking me, what is a pre-code report? Great question. Pre-code stands for Preventing Cognitive Decline, and the pre-code report shows you what unique areas you can start working on right away. All of this has been made available by my genius mentor and medical doctor, Dr. Dale Bredesen, who has been researching this for 30 plus years and wrote the best book ever called The End of Alzheimer's. Having Alzheimer's is now an option. There is hope. For more information on how to get your pre-code underway, look for the link in the show notes. Now, back to the podcast. And walk like you're late for an appointment.
Yes. I was just going to say, walk with a purpose. Yeah. Walk like, yeah, oh my gosh, I'm late. I got
to
really get
there. I got to get to the airport. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm missing the flight.
Yeah. And so let's give them some strategies to enhance their walk when they're out walking. So walk with a friend. Do different things with the speed you're walking. You know, maybe you can time it, or you can do it by, if you're in a city, you can do it block by block. But one time walk really fast, and then the next one slow down a little bit. Then go fast again and slow down. Kind of make it a little bit of a game. Have some fun with it. Listen to music. Listen to a podcast, listen to the MD and Chef Team while you're walking.
Why not?
Why not? Do different types of things. Track your progress. Listen to good inspirational, like I said, music or inspirational words or just things that get you going. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh my gosh, I got to get home. I've been walking for a while now. Now, those are many things you can do.
And I also want to add about brain. I mean, train your brain to, for instance, this is something that I try to remember to do. I don't like doing, but I try to do. Subtract 7 from 100 until you get to the end. Or one day subtract 9 from 100. Or you know, just do your math in your brain and see how you go.
That's cool.
Do you think I like doing that? I'm like, oh, I should try doing it. But
yeah,
I do try and do it. That's why when you and I are walking and I'm not talking, I'm counting on my fingers. That's what I'm doing.
Doing the times table, like 1 times 1 is 1, 2 times 2 is 4, 3 times 3 is 9. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, well, that's a good one too.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Okay, a lot of other things you could do with your walking is you could do lunges while you're walking. And I think a lot of people have probably seen all of these equipment around parks where you're walking, and all they have all these little equipment things where you could stop and for 5 or 10 minutes you could do some different exercises, where you could do calf raises and you could do planks and tricep dips and push-ups and squats and walking lunges and all kinds of things. So just incorporating things that you find out there, or even if there's nothing there, just stop and do 50 lunges at one point.
Or 10 jumping jacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Mix it up. Okay. Let's talk about mixing it up for, we're going to finish off here with the cardio and aerobic. So you can mix it up by so many different things. You could be swimming. It could be bicycling. Of course, walking. You can jump rope. That's a really excellent cardio workout. Mm-hmm. If you're near lakes or rivers or streams or the ocean, you can kayak. If it's wintertime, you can cross-country ski or snow ski. Cross-country skiing is an amazing aerobic workout.
Or snowshoeing.
Snowshoeing is another good. Yep. Hey, you know, golf, I know you might think, oh, golf's not a workout. Well, you know, if you do an 18-hole golf course, that's normally about somewhere around 8 kilometers of walking. So that's pretty good walk, and you're doing some stretching. If you're pushing, you know, carrying your bag or at least pushing the cart, not riding in the cart, you're going to get some workout. Now, of course, if you're just riding in a cart, you're not getting much out of that. Tennis, another great one. A great one that we have in our garage or garage, however you say it, is table tennis, ping pong.
Ping pong, yeah, that's fun.
I mean, you do that for a half hour to an hour, you're going to get a nice workout.
And it's good for your brain health because you're going back and, you know, you're crossing the hemispheres in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're in the garage, it can be garage ping pong and you're bending over and picking up the ball and bouncing it off the wall or off the car.
Yeah. Chasing it down the driveway when it goes out the door. If you have the door open, all that good stuff. So that's a fantastic workout too for cardio and aerobic.
Yeah.
So now let's get on to strength training for the brain. So strength training is, you can do it with weights or without weights, however you want to do it. But let's talk about the benefits. So it improves cognition of the brain, specifically for executive functioning and memory. That's really good.
And executive functioning is knowing how to delegate, how to pay bills, how to do things that you're supposed to be doing in your day. You know, some people, when they start losing their executive functions, they don't even know how to drive out of the driveway. They get lost.
They get confused.
They don't even know how to get out of the neighborhood.
Yeah. So they start forgetting how to cook and making
how to go shopping, pay bills.
Yeah. So
very good.
So it also increases and stabilizes brain volume, and it decreases white matter lesions. Now, you might know a little bit more about that one.
It gets a little complicated, so we'll just move on.
So, promotes metabolic health. I mean, this is an important one, too. We want to make sure our brain is able to feed healthy off of the different types of fuels that it can be used for the brain.
Whether it be glucose or what we promote here on Doctor on a Mission is ketones.
Yeah. But you want the brain to be able to feed off of both.
Yeah.
And be metabolically flexible.
Right. But the problem that we're seeing out there, everyone, is that people are insulin resistant, which means the brain can't use sugar because the sugar can't get into the cells. So we want to make sure that the brain remains flexible, metabolically flexible, so that it can use glucose in the form of sugar or ketones. That's what we want.
Yeah. Excellent.
Is that okay?
Yeah, beautiful.
Was that simple?
That was good. Now, those are benefits of the strength training for the brain, but let's just touch real briefly on benefits for our physical body or below the neck. So it actually prevents and keeps us from getting sarcopenia, which is the loss of lean body mass. Okay, that's very important. It protects against the loss of bone and bone fractures. That's important too. I mean, I think most of us have heard about, seen, may even know many mature aged people who are unstable, who have fallen, broken bones, and they tend to go downhill after that because now they're really unstable and they can't walk and things get
or can't get off the toilet or are resigned to being in bed in fetal position. Yeah.
So the strength, we want to keep our leg strength strong, our body strong, so that we actually remain stable throughout our life until our last breath.
Yeah. And we can do that, but the work starts now, not, you know, in our 80s and 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
Starts now.
Starts now.
Now, a biggie of strength and resistance training is it slows biological aging.
I love that.
Research shows that. And what that means is everybody wants to, like, I don't want to age quick. Well, here is a great way to slow down that aging process. Strength and resistance training will do that. Okay. So let's talk about some different things we need to do for strength training. There's so many different ways you can do it. Use your own body weight as leverage. You know, we don't have to think, oh my gosh, I got to go to the gym or I got to belong somewhere to a health club. If you can, fantastic. If you got the finances to do it, go for it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Go for it. If you can hire a fitness coach, go for it. But if you can't, and time-wise, we want to talk about how just simply getting going, you can do some things to help you with your strength training.
And just an aside, Michael and I don't go to the gym. We work out at home. And look, we don't have this elaborate gym.
No.
Do we?
We have.
What do we have?
We have maybe $500 worth of equipment that we've bought used or some new over the last.
Weights. Essentially.
Weights. And
a rebounder.
Yeah.
A medicine ball,
and weights and that. And, you know, we've done that over the last 5 years or so, accumulated, and we get more weights as we move up in strength.
And there's so many free fitness programs on YouTube that you can log into that we watch. And they're
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or apps on your phone, different things you can do. So as far as dollars, whatever you want to do, you can invest a few hundred dollars at home, set up your own thing. You can use your own body weight as leverage, free weights, exercise bands, machines. You can go outside, like we talked about. If you got a park locally, it has all kind of equipment in it, go use it.
Yeah.
Time-wise, you know, we're very productive with our time, but we got a very full schedule, shall I say. So that's one of the reasons why we don't do the gym thing is because we don't
want time.
Well, we don't want to take the time to drive there, get there, get warmed up, get going, and come back. We just have our thing here at home.
Yeah.
We go hit it. And if you can do even at a bare minimum, let's say 3 to 4 10 to 20 minute workouts or 10 to 30 minute workouts a week of resistance training,
you're in.
Will get you going. I mean, yes, you can do more, but if you could do 3 to 4 times a week, 10 to 30 minutes, you're doing great.
Plus,
you go ahead, you jump on that.
So
one.
Plus, remember, the stronger the thighs, the stronger your brain. Did you know that? Yeah. And the wider your belly diameter, the smaller your brain. Mm-hmm. So it's so important. We want to increase our leg strength. And so what I recommend, and I do, is Monday through Friday, do 100 squats. 100 squats every day. No, not 100 squats once a week. It's 100
well,
squats.
Start where you can start.
Oh, yeah. Be mindful of what you can do. But you can do 100 squats as your goal Monday through Friday, and that will increase your leg strength. And I just want to say, when I got onto this, because after being trained by Dr. Dale Bredesen, who helps us teach and help other people prevent and reverse Alzheimer's, when I learned this, I started doing the squats. And then, of course, my mom, who's 98 years young now, I started her when she was 95. She's doing her squats. You know, I go, Mom, I talk to her pretty much every day. And I go, Mom, how are you doing? She goes, I got my squats in. So, come on, everybody. Let's do our squats and keep our legs strong, because mommy doesn't want to be using a cane or a walker. She doesn't use a walker. She uses a cane every once in a while, but she wants to be, you want to be able to get off the toilet without having somebody help you up. You want to get out of bed.
Yep.
You know, like Michael and I are very cognizant of this. And when we're sitting on the floor, we make sure that we do not use our hands to get back up. We use our thighs. Michael and I, when our goal is to be 90 years or more traveling and being able to lift our suitcase and put it up above us, you know, we don't want anybody doing that stuff. We can do that because you got to have the strength in there. So let's do this together.
So Mimi, Mom, at 98, does 15 a day. Well, now you wiped out some excuses out there about lunges.
Squats. Yeah, squats. Mommy's not doing lunges.
Squats.
And then my brother's got her doing dumbbell lifts with a 3 pound in each arm. He's got her doing like 20 of those or whatever. But anyway, come on, everyone. Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Our fearless leader. She's doing pretty good.
Yeah, and just on that, I do want to talk about just how important that is, because I honestly didn't realize the leg strength, how important it is for brain health. I mean, the research shows, this is not, hey, Michael and Isabel said, no, this is the research that's demonstrated that strong legs have a strong correlation with better cognition, total connection to brain health, that pushing more weight on our legs predicts greater brain volume and cognition for the next 10 years.
Let's go.
So that's huge.
I know. That's huge.
That's huge. So you could do squats, lunges, calf raises, leg presses, leg lifts, and curls, all those things you can do it at home. Many, many things you can do. All right. So let's finish this off with just a couple little things and then we're out of here. So let's talk about the rebounder. You want to talk about the rebounder?
Sure.
I know.
So the rebounder is a little trampoline. You've seen it around. It's a little trampoline. You can get it anywhere and put it anywhere in your house. And it's fantastic because remember I talked to you about the lymphatic system is your drainage system. Well, the lymphatic is like a straw colored material that we have lymphatics. They're like little peas. All throughout, it's a chain of little peas all throughout our body from our neck down. And then we've also got the lymphatics in our brain. But when you do the rebounder, it helps your body, your lymphatic system, get rid of toxins and waste and stuff that you don't need so that you're decreasing your risk of getting inflammation. And I do my best to do 10 minutes. Oh, it's not every day, but 10 minutes at least 3 times a week. Like for instance, in between doing work on the computer, I'll stand up after about 20 minutes and do the rebounder. And I'll say stuff just to help my brain too, is I'll just swing my arms up, back and forth and go, I love my life. I love my life.
Trying to be all positive.
I love my life. And breathe through your nose.
Right.
Make sure you breathe. Yeah.
And you're getting that activation of your lymphatic system going.
Yeah.
And your glymphatic at the same time, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the reason we encourage this is because when Michael and I are helping people prevent or reverse dementia of the Alzheimer's type, one of the types that our peeps have is a type 3. Which is toxic. We know that they've got certain toxins in their brain. So we definitely encourage that. And when I see our patients that have type 3 as one of the contributors of their cognitive decline, you know, they're downstream, but we can work on it upstream.
Yes.
You know, and this is working upstream, preventing it by doing the rebounder, going, I love my life. Yeah. I love my life. Yeah. Or whatever you want to say.
And it's never too late to start. Hey, if you're 85 and you've never exercised, well, okay, get started now, of course. Get started at your level, but just making sure you get moving. So just wrapping this up today, we wanted to talk about exercise and the connection with brain health. And just understand there is no pill. There is no pill out there that you can take that can give you the benefits to your brain health, your mental health, and your physical health that getting your body moving and taking exercise can do. You can do cardio and aerobic by just walking. You can do strength training by just doing some squats during the week. That just get the body moving, get it happening for you, and you are going to reap the benefits. And just remember, you're probably not going to say, yay, 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 this is what I want to do.
Because we don't.
No, just make it a priority. Build it into your schedule, because it's going to slow your biological aging, which means you're going to live a longer, healthy, happy life. And that's what we're looking for you.
Yeah, yeah. And just hold the image of who you want to become, who you want to be, because our brain always works with pictures. And if you've got a picture in your brain, like Michael and I have a picture in our brain to live to be 100 years plus, healthy, toned, happy, sexy, and joyful. Yeah, but the work starts now. So when you've got, and it may not be, that may not be the image you have at all. I say that to mommy. I go, Mom, you're going to live to be 100. And she goes, no, that's not my goal. But anyway.
Yeah, already at 98, yeah, you're getting pretty close. You might as well go for it.
However, she is talking about her 100th birthday now.
Yeah, now yeah
she so is. She goes, yeah, it looks yeah like I'm getting pretty close. But the point is, you are in control of this whole deal. And we're there to help you and encourage you, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today on the MD and Chef Team Show. We're here to serve you. We love you. Mm. And you have an amazing, amazing day, week, month, and fantastic life.
Yeah. And remember, you got the power. You got the power. You got the power. Yeah, you have the power. I'm smiling right now because I'm so excited.
Because we already exercised, so we don't have to go do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very happy about that.
Till tomorrow.
Yeah.
All righty. Bye for now. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Chef Michael here. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review.